A man's got to fight out here to make a living, they'd say to each other. A man. It was always about the men. They seemed to think it meant nothing to cook and clean and bear children and tend gardens. But we women of the Great Plains worked from sunup to sundown too, toiled on wheat farms until we were as dry and baked as the land we loved. Sometimes, when I close my eyes, I swear I can still taste the dust. 1921. To damage the earth is to damage your children. Wendell Berry, farmer and poet. 1. Elsa Walcott had spent years in enforced solitude, reading fictional adventures and imagining other lives. In her lonely bedroom, surrounded by the novels that had become her friends, she sometimes dared to dream of an adventure of her own, but not often. Her family repeatedly told her that it was the illness she'd survived in childhood that had transformed her life and left it fragile and solitary, and on good days, she believed it. On bad days, like today, she knew that she had always been an outsider in her own family. They had sensed the lack in her early on, seen that she didn't fit in. There was a pain that came with constant disapproval, a sense of having lost something unnamed, unknown. Elsa had survived it by being quiet, by not demanding or seeking attention, by accepting that she was loved, but unliked. The hurt had become so commonplace she rarely noticed it. She knew it had nothing to do with the illness to which her rejection was usually ascribed. But now, as she sat in the parlor, in her favorite chair, she closed the book in her lap and thought about it. The age of innocence had awakened something in her, reminded her keenly of the passage of time. Tomorrow was her birthday, 25. Young by most accounts, an age when men drank bathtub gin and drove recklessly and listened to ragtime music and danced with women who wore headbands and fringed dresses. For women, it was different. Hope began to dim for a woman when she turned 20. By 22, the whispers in town and at church would have begun, the long, sad looks. By 25, the die was cast. An unmarried woman was a spinster. On the shelf, they called her, shaking heads and tisking at her lost opportunities. Usually people wondered why. What had turned a perfectly ordinary woman from a good family into a spinster? But in Elsa's case, everyone knew. They must think she was deaf the way they talked about her. Poor thing, skinny as a rake handle, not nearly as pretty as her sisters. Prettiness. Elsa knew that was the crux of it. She was not an attractive woman. On her best day, in her best dress, a stranger might say she was handsome, but never more. She was too everything. Too tall, too thin, too pale, too unsure of herself. Elsa had attended both of her sister's weddings. Neither had asked her to stand with them at the altar, and Elsa understood. At nearly 6 feet, she was taller than the grooms. She would ruin the photographs, and image was everything to the Walcotts. Her parents prized it above all else. It didn't take a genius to look down the road of Elsa's life and see her future. She would stay here, in her parents' house on Rock Road, being cared for by Maria, the maid who'd managed the household forever. Someday, when Maria retired, Elsa would be left to care for her parents, and then, when they were gone, she would be alone. And what would she have to show for her life? How would her time on this earth be marked? Who would remember her, and for what? She closed her eyes and let a familiar, long-held dream tiptoe in. She imagined herself living somewhere else, in her own home. She could hear children's laughter, her children. A life, not merely an existence. That was her dream, a world in which her life and her choices were not defined by the rheumatic fever she'd contracted at 14, a life where she uncovered